In the name of Christ, amen. Many of you may remember one of the Grimm's fairy tales about Rapunzel, who lived with a wicked witch in a drab and dingy tower. The old witch is holding Rapunzel captive, and to keep the girl in her place, the wicked witch does two things. First, she removes all the mirrors from the tower, so Rapunzel can't see what she looks like. And then the witch tells Rapunzel repeatedly, "You are ugly." In fact, Rapunzel said, "You look just like me." And since there are no mirrors in the tower, Rapunzel believes it. She can't see how beautiful she is, and so she remains a prisoner of the tower, a prisoner of her own supposed ugliness. The witch believes that if Rapunzel is convinced that she is ugly, she won't try to escape. And then one bright day, Prince Charming rides by on his white horse. And as Rapunzel is leaning out of the tower for a breath of fresh air, their eyes meet, and it's love at first sight. The prince says, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair." And she does just that. She lets down her long flowing hair from the balcony, and Prince Charming, using it like a rope, climbs up the tower. And they gaze at each other lovingly. Rapunzel sees in the glistening eyes of her prince a clear reflection of her own face. In the mirror of his eyes, Rapunzel sees for the first time that she is beautiful. And in that moment, she is set free. Free from the witch, free from the tower, free from the past, free from the feeling that she is ugly. And Prince Charming takes Rapunzel into his arms, and they parachute off on a horse and ride happily into the sunset. Obviously, Grimm's fairy tales is not scripture. But it leads us into the text from Colossians. And I'm sure it won't take you long to answer a couple of questions that we want to think about first. The first question is, from the standpoint of our faith, who or what is it that tells us we are ugly? And secondly, into whose eyes may we look to see ourselves as beautiful children of God? And then we look beyond those questions and what that beauty is, and see what the well-dressed man or woman of God wears. Verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. That's beautiful. And that's true of you and of me and all of God's people. Because of God's grace reaching out to us, we are His chosen, holy, dearly loved, beautiful people. I know that, and I think you do too. But I also know, and I suspect you know it as well, that we are surrounded by the wicked witches of the devil, the world, and our flesh, who keep trying to convince us that we are ugly. The tower of the world confines us. There is a hold on us that is not of God. There is a past from which we cannot free ourselves. There is an inborn natural ugliness. I think it was Phyllis Diller or Joan Rivers who said, "Beauty may be skin deep, but ugly goes all the way through." And of course, we're talking about the ugliness of our sin that does go through and through. It's the ugliness that makes us constrained and confined, unloved, unfulfilled, under a curse. It's the ugliness within us that makes us not want to bear one another's burdens. It's the ugliness that we confessed in Psalm 32. Listen to Michael Reagan, the oldest son of former President Ronald Reagan, as he describes a significant event in his life. Maybe it sounds familiar to you. Young Reagan writes, "Bill, Rudy, and I were the outboard world champions of 1967. I was ecstatic, and most everyone was dumbfounded. The press went crazy. A man ran up and kissed me on both cheeks. 'I love you,' he said. 'Who are you?' I asked. 'I'm the guy who bet $13 on you, and I just won $10,000. The next day, the papers reported, "Reagan's son wins outboard championship." I felt that I had finally done something significant. I was certain that when Dad read about it in the papers, he would say, 'Doggone it, Mike, you're a world champion. I guess you finally found your niche.' And he and Nancy or Mom would welcome me with open arms because of my success. I never heard from them. And I realized with despair that no matter what I did, it probably wasn't going to be enough to earn the acceptance I so desperately needed and wanted." And by the way, Michael Reagan entitled his book, "On the Outside Looking In." Do you ever have that feeling? Maybe you had parents that you could quite never please, for whom nothing was ever quite good enough. And I have to wonder, is it possible right now that maybe you are that kind of parent, or husband, or wife, or even prof? It was on this campus in the first year of its former life as senior college that I failed Hebrew the first time around. Spent an extra 3 weeks sleeping the language and eating it, rarely without my pack of vocabulary cards. You may have failed a course somewhere in a classroom. And all of us fail in the university of life's experiences. Maybe it's in the college of marriage or business or family or working relationships, but it's never a pretty scene on the outside of success looking in. But think of what the writer of this text, something happened to St. Paul that made him realize that he wasn't a failure. He wasn't a loser. He wasn't ugly. For he saw into the eyes of the living Christ on the road to Damascus as he heard that voice say, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And something broke within. Suddenly he wasn't ugly anymore. He and we are addressed as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And you and I know that the one who had no beauty or comeliness that we should desire him makes it all possible. The one who died the ugly death on the cross, the one from whom men hid their faces, is the one who gives us beautiful feet to carry the precious news to the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's because of who we are. Therefore, as the text begins, you can be the well-dressed woman and man of God, the well-dressed preacher. Because of that gift of inner beauty, we can bear one another's burdens. We can put on compassion with some restless kids or a cranky elder in the church or a grandpa whose hip pain is worse today than it ever was. We can put on kindness for the confirmation class that won't listen, the custodian who forgets to empty your wastebasket, and the teenager caught shoplifting. We can wear humility when someone says, "Good sermon, Pastor. We need you to lead us in prayer. We can't start without you." And we can put on gentleness toward those shut-ins whose stories we have heard so many times that we can repeat it as well as they. We can be patient with the young couple who wants to toss out all the liturgy and have a worship-friendly service. We can bear routines of the day, forgive hurts, and tie it all together with love. That's because the peace of Christ is for you. You have the beauty and the holiness that is yours as God's chosen, dearly loved, beautiful people. In the name of Jesus, amen.